Come on, North Campus, help me welcome all of the campuses as well as Facebook Live. We welcome you today, and we are glad that you are here. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and it's my privilege week in and week out to get to preach at North Campus, but literally I'm preaching around the world. We're glad you're there today, and we're believing that God has a word for you, so I want you to get ready to receive. I want to remind all of you in Adamsville and in Savannah. I'll be at Savannah this Wednesday night. You guys are coming together, Savannah campus and the Adamsville campus. I've got a word for you. Don't miss it. Make plans to be there this Wednesday night. It's going to be a great time together. We're looking forward to what God has. Let's pray together, and let's prepare ourselves to receive today. Father, we thank you that you have good things for us, and we open our hearts to you, we open our minds to you today, and we just say, Spirit of God, speak to each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, over the past several weeks, we've been looking in the book of John, and we've been talking about intersections. Now, for those of you maybe who are newer, let me just kind of bring you up to speed. What we've been doing is we've been looking at how that Jesus intersected people's lives, and that every time that we find him intersecting somebody's life, there's something that happens. There's something marvelous that takes place in their life. And so we're going to continue that today out of the book of John, the 11th chapter. So if you have your Bible, you can go there. If you've got the Word of God downloaded on some kind of a device, go ahead and pull that up, John chapter 11. And if you don't, just wait a minute. It's going to come up on the screen. Here's what I want to talk to us about today. Here's my title for those of you who need titles for sermon. My title today is Perplexity to Praise. All right? Perplexity to Praise. Have you ever had those moments in your life where what God was doing was kind of perplexing to you? Anybody? I'll just wait on you. All right? You know, it's like, come on, God, what are you up to in this moment? What's taking place? This is one of those stories. In fact, chapter 11 and first part of chapter 12 is this story that we're going to be looking at for a few weeks, actually, as we kind of drill down into this. Let's just look at it. Verse number 1, chapter 11 says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village Mary and her sister Martha." So John's just kind of describing who this is, saying, hey, here are these people. And then there's a little explanation there. It says, "This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair." So we're getting a little bit more of the story there. It says, "So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Now, do you see that? Don't get in a hurry here. Do you see that? The one you, now it's one thing for us to love him. Right. It's something else for the scripture to say, "Hey, Lord, the one that you love is sick." Look at verse 4, and this is where we're going to spend a lot of time today. "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved," here's explaining, "now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." This passage to me is one of the most confusing passages in Scripture in some ways, all right? Because I don't know how many of you, in my Bible, there's a, before you start the 11th chapter, there's kind of a heading that's there, okay? And that heading says, "The death of Lazarus." I'm going to take a minute. The death of Lazarus. But verse 4 says, "When Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness will not end in..." Let's just say it this way. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're speaking English and they're speaking Greek? You're talking about one thing. Am I the only... I don't want to get in trouble. Husbands and wives do this all the time. You're talking about this, and he's talking about that, or, you know, come on. It happened. This is one of those stories that's kind of that way, and we're going to see as we go in. The intersection today, I don't think it's in your notes, but you can write it down. Here's the intersection today. I've given you an intersection each week, and that is where question marks and exclamation point intersect. where question marks, Lord, what's going on? What's here? What's happening? Lord, this doesn't look right. Lazarus is sick, etc. And then the exclamation point of what God is going to do in this situation. So it's that where question marks and an exclamation point intersect. Now, the first three verses there show us this great need that Martha and Mary and Lazarus has. Now, in all of our lives, let me ask this question. Those of you watching, would you participate as well? How many of you have ever had a moment in your life where you had a great need? Would you hold your hand up? Come on. It looks almost 100% from what I'm seeing. The two-year-olds don't have their hands up. All right, after about two, you start having great needs, right? And so there's this whole aspect of life that all of us have been there. And what I found through the years is there's kind of a normal process that we go through when we face something that's kind of big. The first aspect is that, well, I'm gonna handle this, right? I can handle this. Come on, you know you do. It doesn't matter what it is, something physical, spiritual, financial, emotional, whatever. I will handle this. I get a hold of it. I can do this, right? And so we kind of all do that. We kind of get to that point. I'm going to handle this in this moment. The second thing that takes place, though, is that we start trying to handle it, and then it's not happening quick enough. Your marriage gets in a mess, and you go to one counseling session. Come on. And you just thought everything was going to be wonderful. Well, it took you 23 years to mess it up that bad. Uh-oh. It really gets better, so you're okay. All right? But we want it to happen. We want it to happen now, right? Let's make it happen. Let's get there. And then what happens next is we kind of get this mindset, well, it's too big for anybody to fix now. In fact, what I've found through the years as a pastor is that people don't come to you until it's so broken, only God. In fact, and sometimes he goes, there's not much I can do with it. Right? Now, so we've got these great needs. We've admitted everybody's got these great needs, and we're trying to handle them, we're trying to fix it, we're trying to do whatever. Now, what's wonderful about Mary and Martha and Lazarus is that as soon as they have a great need in their life, they go to Jesus with it, right? Now, Jesus' words sound comforting, right? Because here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. Now how many of you know that feels good, right? That sounds good, that in that moment feels pretty good. So Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. All right, here's the problem. We hear one thing, Jesus means another. I'll let you put that down and we're going to work this. All right, we hear Jesus saying this sickness will not end in death. But what Jesus said and what we heard are two different things. Let me say it again. We're hearing this sickness will not end in death. What Jesus said was this sickness will not end in death. Now, come on, I worked too hard on this. This is a revelation because I've never heard anybody preach this. I've preached this topic on many occasions and I never saw it. Because does anybody have any scriptures you struggle with sometime? Anybody but me? This is one of those passages that I would read and I would go, well, if you know the story, he dies. Lazarus dies. And yet Jesus says he's not going to die. And I'd go, well, okay, let's theologically figure that out. And the deal is that Jesus is saying one thing and we're hearing another. And that's what happens to us all the time, is that we have that tendency. Here's what everybody heard. Lazarus won't die. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not You say, yes, he did. No, he didn't. Jesus said, this sickness won't end in death. He didn't say he wasn't going to die. He said it's not going to end there. It's not going to stop there. There are some things in your life that you heard Jesus say one thing, but he didn't say what you thought he said. He said it's not going to end in divorce. But what he meant was not what happened in your world. He said it wasn't going to end in bankruptcy. But the business went under. The health got worse. The situation didn't overcome. It didn't turn around. It didn't make it the way you come on. You heard Lazarus isn't going to die. He said it's not going to end in death. See, there are situations in your life that what we have a tendency to do is that we grab for a scripture that gives us the outcome that we want. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Woo! Yes. Yes, I want to prosper. And be in health. Yes. And John goes on and says, oh, yeah, and by the way, even as your soul, your understanding prospers. All we heard was, beloved, I wish above all things that thou wouldest prosper. And John says, no. Even or as much or in equational math, 1 + 1 = 2. Jesus says the marriage is not going to end in divorce. And you heard that we're just going to be like we were when we first got married. Uh-oh. Pastor, God hates divorce. I know that. You're not telling me anything. But sometimes it's going to be divorce. What we've got to come to an understanding of is this, and we're going to work this about three different ways today before we get done because I want you to get it. What we have to understand is we think the end is the end and God thinks the end is a beginning. We think the book is closed and God says, no, it's just the next chapter. We think it's all over and it's all done and God says, no, I got more that I can do than you've even thought about. In fact, he said, I can do exceeding abundantly above all than you can ask or think. Now, Pastor, you're teaching this today and people are going to go out and they're going to get divorced, they're going to do whatever. No. Let me help you with that statement. The reason people are going to get divorced is not because I preach this today. The reason people are going to get divorced is because they don't like each other. And they just feel like come on, don't blame your divorce on me. Don't blame your mess on the pastor. Don't blame it on somebody else. You got in the mess. You picked them. I wish I had an organ right now. No, I'm kidding. It's that whole thing there. Now, verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Here's what you got to understand is that he always loves you. Doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter what's taking place, doesn't matter what's happening in this moment. And what happens is that we have to come to an understanding of this, and that is Jesus is loving you even when you can't see him doing anything. Now remember that there are instances in Scripture where the Word of God says that people would come to Jesus. In fact, the paradigm, the way that Mary and Martha had seen Jesus work was that as soon as Jesus heard about a need, he met it. Right? Lord, there's 5,000 men plus all these women and children. They're hungry. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, well, what you got? Well, we got a fish and chips. And the Lord says, okay, let's have fish and chips Sunday. And he feeds everybody, right? Lord, we need to pay taxes. Well, you got any money? No, I don't have any money. We'll go down to the lake, throw in a line, and pull in the next fish, and it's going to have a gold coin. They had seen this over and over and over again. And so their expectation, just like us, their expectation is, I'm going to send Jesus a word, and when Jesus gets that word, he's instantly, immediately going to do it. But here's what you've got to understand. One of the greatest tests of our walk with God is trust. Do I trust him? See, it's easy to say, oh, I trust God. Everybody's healthy. Marriage is good. Plenty of money in the bank. But get in one of those moments where you're going through some stuff. And then you will find out, it's like I say about people all the time. I have people all the time tell me, Pastor, I just want you to know I am submitted to this church and I am submitted to your ministry. And then 3 months, 3 years, 10 years down the road, they're gone. I go, what happened to them? Well, they got offended. Well, why'd they get offended? Well, you said such and such. I go, oh, you ready? They were submitted as long as I didn't say anything they didn't like. Oh, hallelujah. See, I'm trusting God as long as there's plenty in the cupboard, everybody's healthy, everybody's doing good. I'm trusting God, but boy, don't let me go through any trouble. Now remember, this sickness will not end in death. Look at verse 6. This is a troubling scripture to me. We're just talking, okay? So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Are you kidding me? You have just stated, first of all, this is the one that you love. And what you're going to do, I mean, you can send your word and heal them because we saw you do that with a centurion servant. But instead, you just turn around, look at the boys and say, hey, guys, we're going to hang here for 2 more days. Now, I don't know, maybe you've never been there, but there have been times in my life that it feels like God decided to hang out somewhere else for a couple of days. And I didn't understand it, and I didn't like it, and it got on my last nerve. I'm just being real. You ever had those moments that it felt like God was staying away for a couple of more days? Maybe that person you had been married to for 20 or 25 years walks in and they say, I'm out of here, I'm out of this marriage, and I've got me a younger thing, and I'm gone. And you said, Lord, I've been calling out to you to fix this, and it's like the Lord says, oh, we just hanging over here for a couple of days. Ever had that moment where the doctor walks in and says, by the way, I've got some bad news, and honestly, I don't know what's going to happen. In fact, maybe you've got about 6 months left. And we start praying, we start seeking God, but it seems like God is still 2 days. Maybe I'm the only one been there. God, I need you to deliver me. I've got this addiction in me, God, and I hate this addiction. I hate everything about it. God, I know it doesn't work right in it, and I can't live right, and I can't be right. God, would you just take this thing away from me? And it gets worse and not better. And it's like, oh, I know you're holy. I got it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody at the campuses. It's not this bunch. It didn't get better. He's hanging out 2 days somewhere else. We look at our world with wars and violence and racism and corruption and persecution and all these things that are going on, and it seems sometimes that God is so disengaged and we don't even know what is going on. Here's where trust comes in. Don't miss this. You don't have to understand everything about someone to trust them. We used to sing a song years ago. This is old school. This is when you still had the hymnals. Take your Bible, take your hymnal and turn to page 328. Anybody remember those days? We're a lot cheaper. All this mess. I'm just saying. I can buy a bunch of hymnals for all this stuff, people. We used to sing a song that said, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Here's what I found through the years, that in those moments, in those 2 days that he's not showing up, in those moments of my life, that it doesn't make sense, I still have hope. My hope, well, here we go again, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock. I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It will not end in death. Our understanding is it will not end in death. He's not going to die. Can we dig a little deeper? Look in verse 11. We'll skip a little bit, but verse 11, 12, after he had said this, Jesus is talking there. He says, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." Come on, Lord, I'm like the disciples. Look at the next verse. His disciples write, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." In other words, the guy's sleeping, leave him alone. Here's the deal. We see only part of the picture. Because we're going to see in just a minute that he's going to say he's dead, okay? I got to help you, he's dead, all right? Here's the deal. My perception is the problem. Not God. My perception is the problem. I see God 2 days away hanging out with the boys. I don't know what they're doing. They fishing? I don't know. But they're not here. And so here's what I know about people. There are some of you who are listening to this sermon today, and you're mad at God. You haven't admitted it. You haven't told anybody you are, but you are. You say, "How do you know?" Because I'm been there. I understand. Some of you have heard this, but some of you are new, so let me just share with you. Most of you understand that and know that I was born in Africa. And so the first 7 years of my life, we lived in Africa, and then we came back to the States, and at 13 years of age, my dad walked in one day and he said, and story quick, my dad said, "God's called me back to Africa," and we moved to Kenya, East Africa. In less than a year's time, my father was killed in a car accident. And at 14 years of age, I said, "If that's what God's about, I don't want anything to do with him." If God calls you to a country so you can die, I can't believe he's saying that. We need to find another church to go to. He's gonna get struck dead. God's gonna kill him. Oh no, I've said a whole lot worse than that to God. Can I just freak some of you completely out? I was pastoring for years and still angry at God. Why'd I have to go through that? Why did I have to experience that? There are some of you right now that you're saying, why did I have to go through that divorce? Why did my business collapse? Why did my ministry not go the way that I wanted to do? Why did my kid do what they did? I prayed. I sought God. I asked God to show up. I asked God to do things. I asked God to minister. I asked God to heal. I asked God to deliver. And here I am. Come on, let's lay down the religious facade for just a moment. Here's what I want to say to you. Just because I don't see anything does not mean God's not involved. I don't know what he's up to. I don't know what he's doing. But he's doing something. Verse 13 says that Jesus had been speaking of Lazarus' death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. Now, here's what you got to understand, and this one is so good that you got to get it. God is not constrained to what I think. See, here's the deal. We all have a box that God fits in, and that box is way too small. Here's what God is going to do. God is going to show up, and he is going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And God says, not a day, I'm going to do 5,228 trillion. I want to give you a statement, and I want you to pray over it. I want you to put it on your mirror. I want you to get this. If God always met our expectations, he would never have the opportunity to exceed them. Come on, don't miss it. Lazarus is sick. I want healing. God says, I'm going to do exceeding abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. I'm going to go to a whole nother level. Lazarus is going to die, but it's not going to end there because I don't want to heal Lazarus. I want to, after 4 days and they say he stinks, I want you to roll away the stone and I want to say, Lazarus, come forth, because I want everybody to see that I am God that is greater than anything. See, our miscalculation is this, is that God has to do it in our paradigm. God has to fix it in the way that we understand. And God says, I'm bigger than your box. I'm greater than your understanding. I am above and beyond anything that you can think or imagine that is down inside of you. Listen to me. There are some of you, hear your pastor today. There are some of you who have prayed about a sickness in a child's life, and you have said, God, it's not fair. I want my child healed, and I'm with you. I want your child healed. But let me say something to you. If that child never gets healed, if they never have a well day in their life, it is not going to end in death. There is a day that is coming with the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Don't turn me down. And we, which are alive and remain, are going to be caught up to meet him in the clouds. Whatever you are experiencing in this moment, whatever is happening right now, it's not the end. That addiction that took away your family, that addiction that destroyed every aspect of your being, that addiction that has held on to you, is not the end. You may go through some seasons of doubt. You may go through some seasons of not knowing what to do. But I am telling you that there is a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. I know it's Sunday morning, I'm supposed to be good, but sometimes you just can't be good. Because see, here's the deal. Verse 14, it says Jesus just gets plain with them and says, Lazarus is dead. See, there are some times in our life that the only thing that's going to bring the solution to our life is a miraculous God. Man's mind isn't going to do it. Our intellect can't figure it out. We can't go to enough doctors or enough bankers or enough lawyers or enough this, that, or the other, that it is going to take God Himself showing up. But He's not going to always show up the way you think. See, here's the deal, is that we want a healing and God wants a resurrection. We want a solution and God wants glory. We want man to say, look at what I've done, and He wants to say, look at only what I can do. Here's what I found. God often wants to do something in us before doing something for us. And so sometimes He'll hang out for 2 days. Well, let me help us all. You do understand 2 days sometimes is 2 years and 20 years. And got it? And the reason sometimes that He doesn't show up the way and when we want Him to show up is because He's doing something inside of us that is more important than what He's going to do around us or outside of us. Here's what I found through the years. When God doesn't make sense, He's up to something. Sherry and I came to Jackson and we started this church and we're trying to win people to Jesus, get people to come to the Lord, and we started going through one of the worst times in our family that we've ever experienced. And there were nights we'd lay awake and we'd cry out to God and say, God, we're trying to win other people's children to God, and we're not even sure our child's going to be saved. And if that won't mess with your world, nothing will mess with your world. Because the enemy knows where to hit you at. He knows where to attack you at. He knows where to come against you. And so something had to happen inside of us that said, it's not going to end in death. A couple of years after we turned the church over in Adamsville that was supposed to remain part of Love and True Church, there was a breaking apart that was probably the worst thing as far as pastorally Sherry and I had ever gone through. And we saw no hope of restoration. We saw no hope that there was ever going to be a day where once again that church and us would be united because of what was happening. And yet 8 years later, God put it all back together, and they're watching me right now in Adamsville because it doesn't end in death. Oh, let me close with this. Some of you have heard this, but let me just share it with those of you who haven't. The story about my father, that's not the end. First of all, it's not the end because right now we have in East Africa 100 churches or so in the East Africa area that are loving true churches right now. Not only that, About 15 years ago, the first trip back to Kenya that I had made since I was 14, we knew that there was a church that had been dedicated in honor of my father, and so Sherry and I went to see it, and the missionaries that were standing there, they were showing us through, being very kind. They were so kind to us, and they took us through, and they said, do you know the story about Pastor Samson? And I said, don't know Pastor Samson. And they said, well, let me tell you. Pastor Samson saw the car accident the day your dad was killed, and he wasn't a believer. In fact, he was standing on the side of the road with his son. He didn't know Jesus Christ. He didn't have a relationship with the Lord. But he looked at his little small son that day, and he said to him, if that man loves that God enough to spill his blood on this ground, I'll serve that man's God the rest of my life. Now, that's not the end. These missionaries told us, they said, we just had a convention. We had over 300 pastors at this convention. And they said, we said to those pastors, that those of you that were saved and are pastors today because of Pastor Samson, would you stand up? Over 150 pastors stood up in that moment. The Bible has a saying that we don't quote much, but it says, unless a seed fall into the ground and, this is the part we don't like, dies, it abides alone. Let me say something to you. Hearing that story didn't lessen the pain. It didn't lessen the anguish of a 14-year-old boy who lost his father. It didn't change the fact that I went through years and years of anger and bitterness. But from God's perspective, the seed that has been sown and reaped is incalculable in the eternal consequences of life. There are some of us today, if we need any story in the Bible, we need this one. We need to understand today, and I'm done, but we need to understand, it will not end in death. It's going to be different. Something that you don't even know, someone you've never seen, some situation that has never entered your mind, God says, when that thing dies, you're going to be blown away at what I can resurrect on the other side of what you think is impossible. And that's what we've got to get a hold of.